Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's showtime, folks!
This is where the big boys play, huh?
Woo! And look at Goldberg! He's ready!
Oh, hell yeah!
It's gonna be the biggest battleground in the history of our sport.
Goldalic Classic Nitro Review! We should explain what that sound is. I thought about this the other day.
Yeah, we just do it now.
Yeah.
they don't really do it too much on the show either. Just usually the show would start with Bischoff or somebody just go, "Welcome everyone!" And it would just kind of... It's supposed to be loud and exciting because the crowd are cheering. Or at least they were at the time.
They were cheering for a bit. Oh, they don't cheer near the end. It is the Goldalic Classic Nitro Review. We are going back through the annals of time and watching every episode of Nitro till its bitter end, or ours. Who be we? I be Fake Geordie, radio presenter without portfolio, joined by resident WCW kid Sam Driver. Shredditor's here.
All right.
The Shred is here. Ba-bum, ba-bum. And he's wearing an Evangelion shirt.
Evangelion.
That's the one I said. Labyrinth.
Oh, don't. Just don't. I can't tell how much shit's just bait now. Like that terrible one where it's like, and you replace the M with an S, and it's like, you're designed to share this and say how angry you are. You're doing what it's wanting you to do.
You're doing what it's told to do.
Yeah.
Nice shirt, though.
Thank you very much.
How long have you been a fan of Evangelion?
Quite a while, man. Yeah. It's one of those, like, if you're not into anime, but you're into things like Akira, you're into like kind of more mature storytelling anime. It's kind of like, it's a weird setting where it's kind of like Gundam, I guess, in a way where there's child soldiers are kind of the centric idea. Mm. But it's this weird world where it's very hard to sum up, but like something bad's happened. Everybody's kind of living in this strange state where these giant things called angels are going to visit Earth and one by one try and destroy it.
But angels are nice.
But they've got to, these kids have to pilot these giant like mechs. I don't want to give too much away, but these kids have to like pilot giant mechs and like stop it. And try and like stop the end of the world, basically. And it becomes this whole thing where there's a lot of like wheels within wheels and secret government agencies. And it's very, you know how I'm into conspiracies and stuff. It's all like layered.
You've mentioned it quietly.
I'd say it's like an all time must watch because it transcends what it is. I think I just sound like a wanker now, but
you sound like you're passionate.
The idea that like it's just a series because the story is just sort of concurrent. They've done like a million versions of it, but the original anime is just banging.
Oh, nice!
So good.
I like it because we're all looking for new things to binge watch.
Ends very confusingly, though.
Is it one of those endings where they hoped there would be more?
No, it kind of it's a very strange like psychological show. So sort of the end two episodes of the original run take place within the mind of the main character at an indeterminate period of time.
Mm.
So you're kind of just trying to work out what exactly happened at the end.
Ooh.
And then that like led to so much backlash of like, what? That can't just be how it ends, that they did a definitive ending for it. And then there's been multiple like redos of it where they've turned it into like movies. And but it's fucking amazing.
Nice.
It's just amazing.
Very nice. Has it been a good week?
Yeah, it's been all right.
Yeah, nice. I did planking on Monday.
What planking is in, like the outdated?
No, not to be cool.
Just on top of a McDonald's sign. Yeah. Or something.
I'm just catching up with the trends. All right, I'm a bit behind.
So there I was
else.
On the edge of the Redhuth Bridge, and you wouldn't believe what happened. Gust of wind, Luckily, I had a parachute
and invented parachuting there and then. But Alex and I are on a bit of a health kick, shredding for the wedding and all that jazz. So she's got this app now where it'll give her like 20-minute workouts every day.
Yeah.
And for moral support, I joined in.
Yeah.
And one of the things was planking when you had to hold your thing.
It's hell, but it's nice.
Yeah. And it's ripped up. It's, you know what? It's ripped a muscle, or it's pulled a muscle just under my heart. And that's a terrifying place to pull a muscle, because you stand up and you feel a twinge. You go, well, I am 39 next week, so this is probably
it. You ever done like, oh, I shouldn't have eaten that much takeout, now my chest's really hurting?
Yeah.
I had that for the first time this weekend, and I was I think that's my shitty takeout day's done. I think I'm just going to have to be a sensible adult now.
Was it a moment where you just thought, well, this is it?
It wasn't so much this is it. Like, I've already got a hole in my heart, so like I should be probably looking after myself a lot more. But you know, life just gets in the way, doesn't it?
Do you know, it's funny because Guru Larry is on Desert Island Graps on Sunday.
Yeah,
he's a lovely man, and we were talking about his like recent health kick.
Mm.
And I said, what inspired you to get thin? And I'm thinking, like, was it, you know, a lifestyle change? He went, well, having a stroke would do that. And I was like, oh, shit, all right. And he went, okay, fair enough.
Jesus.
Yeah, so that was, he just went, right, that's it. And just the headstrong nature, just going, that's it.
I'm like, I'm 6 stone down toward my goal now. I need to lose 3 more. So now it's just a case of like, right, just get the last 3 done. So I'm going to, I think from next week, I'm just going to be full blown. Well, from like today, but from next week proper, just full blown intent on, I'm not going to eat any shit. I am just going to eat what I need to eat every day. This is all going to crack on. And then hopefully I can be thinner and not, knackered all the time. Be nice. I've got to get my sleeping in order big time.
Are you all over the shop again?
I don't think I've ever like sort of settled down, but it's kind of I've got to stop getting like 4 hours of sleep a night because it is crippling me.
What do you put that down to? Just wired when you go to bed?
I kind of get in and I'll start picking away at something I'm messing around with on Blender, and then before I know it, I've like either fallen asleep on the couch for an hour and it's all of a sudden 2 a.m. Or I'll just look at the clock and it's like, shit, it's 3:30. You've been working after work again. Stop it. You need to decompress.
We're both a bit rubbish.
It's not even that it's work stuff. I'm just sort of just chipping away going, oh, I want to learn how to do this, and oh, I want to learn how to do that. And it's cool to add the feathers to the bow, but fuck me.
And hopefully you can unwind by watching Nitro from 1996.
I'm sure it'll be a lovely, relaxing experience, everybody.
And we'll be fine. I'm sure it will be. Email of the week comes from Lee in Kilmarnock. Classic at cultaholic.com to send one our way. Sorry, this is a really boring question, lads. I really enjoyed the show. But who was the first wrestler you remember meeting? It is a boring question. Meeting. You're right, Lee, but we'll take it. Just kidding, Lee. Love you.
It'll probably be... I think Martin Kirby was probably the first wrestler I met in person. No. I'm trying to think. I don't think I met a wrestler until we started WCPW, and I believe he was one of the first at the venue. It was either him or Jay Lethal.
Ooh.
I think Jay Lethal was there pretty early as well.
So that was, so when you started WCPW, that was when you first met a wrestler?
Yeah, and then, you know, you see how the sausage gets made, and it's probably not the right turn of phrase to use, but you know what I mean? Like, you see all the behind the scenes and the curtain gets revealed, and it's sort of like Wizard of Oz, isn't it? It's a bit like, I kind of sometimes wish you could just put the curtain back and forget everything on the other side of it, where it's like, you've watched people plan matches, now you've done all this, you've done all, and it's sort of like, I just sort of want to be able to enjoy it.
Yeah, that's it. It's
like sitting there in my head kind of going, oh, and this and that, and
the curse of the gig, innit? It's the curse. Mine was a guy by the name of Cool Runnings.
Right, okay.
And it was at Purdiswell Leisure Centre in Worcester.
Yeah.
And it was basically, he was the cool run. He was dressed in the cool runnings, the Jamaican bobsleigh team gimmick for High Flying Guy. Won his match. Lovely man.
Okay.
There's a Polaroid somewhere on planet Earth of me in Cool Runnings. I would have been
halfway down a landfill on the outskirts.
It might very well be. I think I was 15 at the time, maybe 14.
Yeah.
Cool Runnings, who I later on discovered went on to have a very successful career as Ashton Smith.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I looked him up one day on Cage and went, oh, that was you. Well, bugger me.
Nice tie-in.
Former NXT UK Tag Team Champion Ashton Smith. That no one could take that away from your Cool Runnings. No, maybe now he's in the indie circuit. Let's bring it back.
Just a one-off special.
One-off.
Just for you. Just a for crowd
me.
Of Tom.
Just for me. When I bring out Cultaholic Pro Wrestling, we book Ashton Smith as Cool Runnings.
If you ever float the idea of Cultaholic Pro Wrestling, I think you will not float in the Tyne.
You see what happened to the last person that floated the idea of Cultaholic Pro Wrestling?
I you know, it'd be amazing, but Jesus Christ, the stress of it alone. No.
We all do. No. You know what happened to the last person that pitched Cultaholic Pro Wrestling? No, nor to his family. We head to 1996, April 29th, 1996. Number one in the US Billboard chart. Celine Dion hanging on in there with Because You Love Me.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. That. Number one in the UK music chart. Mark Morrison still there with Return of the Mac.
Which, banger.
That is a banger. 12 Monkeys still topping the UK box office. Some good fun there.
Shows that once upon a time this country had taste.
Number one in the US box office, The Quest. Starring Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Not a clue.
Oh, it's a martial arts
film. I've seen
film.
A lot of Jean-Claude Van Damme, Steven Seagal, just crap fests. They're great, but like, yeah, no, I can't, like, unless it's a Schwarzenegger, if you went like Commando, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I know Commando, yeah.
It was co-written and directed by Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Okay, well, of course, yeah.
Also co-stars Roger Moore.
Step it up in the world, Jean-Claude.
Video game news. Today's release in this particular week.
Can
in
I
the
just
wrestling.
Really quickly say as well that, do you know that Steven Seagal's like form of martial arts isn't real martial arts?
How dare you?
I didn't know. It's apparently like a display martial art. And so, like, I only saw this video of him, like, demonstrating it in Russia, because he's Russian now, guys.
Of course he's
And these people just run at him, and he just kind of just puts his arm out, and they flip over for him.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, at least Jean-Claude Van Damme could do the fucking splits and hit a spinning kick, man. Like, you know, his films aren't exactly the deepest films ever made, but, like, he seems to have a lot of fun making them. He seems to kind of have, like, he comes up with some great ideas for stunts and then strings it together. Seagal was like, I always thought his films were slightly better as a kid. But maybe he's just a slightly better entertainer back then. I don't know. But Van Damme was just excited to watch.
He's a martial arts entertainer, yeah. Steven Seagal. It's like a sports entertainer. That video, I've seen it, and it looks like any legend fighting all of the Spirit Squad.
Yeah, it's just all he should have been doing is just shouting, judo roll, judo roll, judo roll.
It's a weird one, that is. Video game news. I don't know whether you remember this. In 1996, in this week, a PC game was released called Indiana Jones and His Desktop Adventures.
I remember an Indiana Jones point and click. This sounds very much like a meta Indiana Jones adventure.
It's kind of like a top-down style RPG-esque game.
Right.
But designed to run in a windowed form on desktop to limit memory use and allow the player to perform other tasks whilst playing.
So have this on while you're doing your work in the background, and then you can always maximize the work to make it look like you're working.
Do your tax return, find the Ark of the Covenant.
Or just find the Ark of the Covenant. If you find that, you don't need to do a tax return.
That's a good point.
Taxman comes knocking, just quickly look away, open it up, his face melts off.
I love when that happens with the taxman comes.
When they come around to look for where the taxman went, you do it again, and then eventually there's no tax people.
17 skulls piled up in the doorway. I think this is a police turn up. Oh no. Love, we have to move. Is it the Ark of the Covenant again?
It's the bloody box. Oh, you just put it right in front of the doorbell. Somehow, so they've got to reach around and just gently knock the lid open every time.
Can I have it connected to the ring? So when my ring app goes off, the Ark of the Covenant opens. How many times have I told you?
The jingle as it opens.
We haven't had any post for ages. Waiting for a letter.
It's just getting obliterated by like a tonic rays.
Notice all the neighbours have moved out.
Or at least they've been quiet for a while.
Yeah, I haven't seen Mrs. Jones from number 49 for a while. Just her bones, like inside like a gingham dress. It's been rough in our neighbourhood.
I think eventually just a giant hand would come out the sky and be like, enough of that. Just pick it up.
You've had too much fun.
There's a reason I buried this.
You are now the number one. You're now the top killer on the planet.
Well done.
You've killed more people than
have 10 gamer
Genghis
points.
Khan. I listened to a podcast about Genghis Khan. It's real dictators.
Yeah.
Should you want it. And then obviously the world's very different compared to the world that Genghis Khan rolled around in.
Just a smidge.
Just a smidge. We've got phones now. Genghis Khan.
Genghis Khan had his Humvee, though.
He had a Humvee and a
famously.
He had a landline. He was livid.
You can't move for Humvees in out of Manchuria.
Stop bringing me Humvees!
That's my Genghis Khan impression.
Out of Manchuria, Mongolia, isn't it? What am I saying Manchuria for?
The Mongolian Candidate, that famous film.
Yeah, the Mongolian Candidate.
He killed so many people, Genghis Khan,
yeah,
that the carbon monoxide level on planet Earth dropped.
Oh, it dropped, yeah.
Is that incredible?
But he's also like, he's also the most related like to everybody, right?
Yeah, we're all, you know, I think we all potentially here at Cold Time, everyone's related to Genghis Khan.
I'm obsessed with the Dark Ages, so I'm obsessed with like what happened when the Romans left, because one day the Romans just kind of, everything was popping off in Rome. They'd brought civilization to most of us over here in terms of like modernized Roman living. Mm. And then one day they just go, it's popping off back in Italy. See you later. And just fuck off. And then it all just, we just go into this time of like, oh, well, they're gone now, so we can't exist for ourselves, so let's just turn back into crazy, like, wild people for a bit. Incredible. And then there's just no history. And then, but at the same time, you got like Vlad the Impaler. I'd love to read more about just eating his dinner and impaling people. Yeah.
At the same time?
Yeah.
What a guy.
Why not?
Get yourself real dictators. You'd bloody love real dictators.
I'll have to.
Right in your wheelhouse. On this, you know, not connected to what we're talking about. Mm. This week, Granada has confirmed that that O.J. Simpson has been booked to appear on the first edition of Richard and Judy's new series. Well,
this is not
notorious, Richard Madeley.
Not too hot off the heels of what happened for O.J. It's 2 years, so this is probably what his first big UK publicity stunt.
Because
obviously O.J. is a much bigger household name in the States, but, you know, he was famous enough over here, having appeared in films and being O.J. generally.
This is amazing, right?
And of course, the trial. I mean, that's what he's probably most famous for over here.
Small matter of his trial where you put a glove on for a minute.
Hey, if the glove don't fit, Tom,
you must see fit.
You must check instructions.
Check instructions and put the glove on again.
It's fucking IKEA gloves. Don't fit. Just a piece of it with just glue written on it. Just a hand.
Call it a glove. Why do they call it a glungenfung? he was paid £1 for this interview.
Right, I'm assuming this is some form of media rights issue.
Basically, yeah.
Like a legalities thing.
And they also paid all his travel expenses and stuff.
Yeah, of course.
They put him up at a hotel and gave him a Pizza Express.
And he's not going to be flying economy, you know, like especially not with his current public standing in the States.
So they paid £1 for the interview, but then paid like millions on top of that to
get him first class all to himself.
The interview proves to be controversial with both...
Really?
Because Rich and Judy attracted media criticism for what is deemed to be, quote, candy floss questioning of O.J. Simpson. No shit, Sherlock! The matriarch and patriarch of Rich and Judy's book club grill O.J. Simpson.
Hey, we're going to fly you over, right? Mm. Okay, you're going to ask me about this, because if you ask me about this, I'm not flying over. No, we won't ask you about that. How was the flight, OJ? What's your favourite thing in England, OJ? Have you tried fish and chips yet, OJ? Ah, come round to our house, OJ. Like, what are they? What are they thinking? Ooh. What are they thinking?
Just hold this evidence for us, OJ. Could trap him. They didn't. Yeah, very fluffy interview. Like, I'm surprised.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's a reason that we didn't watch Richard and Judy in our house.
It ended after just a series.
Yeah.
And it didn't start well. In the world of wrestling...
It ended after just a series, didn't start well, but then it would just come back to haunt us every so often.
Oh, they never go away.
They started off with OJ, and then they thought they had the gall to come back with what, like Shane Ritchie from EastEnders or something.
Where'd you go from that?
Yeah.
Transition from the One Show are amazing at transitioning from weird fucking articles to one to another. They are. They're amazing. But that's an art form. Like, there's O.J. Simpson coming up next. A funny story about dogs. Like, thanks, O.J. Simpson.
It's so fucking Partridge.
Potential alleged murderer.
But given the two people involved, it couldn't be anything but Partridge.
Richard Madeley will go on to basically be Alan Partridge.
Oh, he is Alan Partridge now.
Yes, he's the living, like, breathing embodiment of Alan Partridge.
It's scary. Like, it genuinely scary.
I'm worried he read I'm Partridge and thought it was a manual.
Maybe.
Maybe he did.
Yeah, maybe he thinks Alan Partridge is real.
Has anyone ever asked him? Oh.
Now's your chance.
Conspiracy theory. In the fun world of wrestling, this week, Antonio Inoki holds a press conference in Japan ahead of officially announcing the World Wrestling Peace Festival, taking place in Los Angeles on the 1st of June.
And everybody's going to get involved.
Everyone's getting involved. The CMLL, the WWF, WCW, New Japan, Big Japan. Right, Big Japan aren't doing it. WWF aren't doing it. New Japan, they're not sure either. Yeah, New Japan are in. WCW are in. Yeah, it's just them two. However, right, it gets even better. They've had to twist all the card round.
Yeah.
Because Inoki and his team want to make a video of the show and sell it to cable networks,
yeah,
TV networks and pay-per-views. However, WCW head honchos have gone, not with our talent, you're not. Fuck no. No,
you want to pay us a waiving fee?
Yeah. Line our pockets with silver, Inoki. So
you've got an island that's got buried treasure on it.
Yeah, you've literally
dig the treasure up, and then you can use Scott Norton again.
give us a big badge. Give us an Ark of the Covenant. Oh no! We'll stop our
postman.
If
anybody would
around.
Just have the Ark of the Covenant hide in the back of his house, I could see it being Antonio Inoki.
They'd open it, and Inoki would.
He doesn't realize what it is. He's just been using it as a footstool. Like it's somebody walks in. Inoki is that? Opens it. It's like you made a mess, and he just slaps.
He's been using it as a torch at night to find the biscuits in the cupboard.
But strangely, whenever he reaches up, they're just not there anymore. They just crumble to nothing.
Gets so angry, he chops the fridge.
And then just literally, fridge is just dinted. And then he's just got it on the floor. He's just hitting it with just raining in the giant stomps. Drops to his back, like against Ali. No, I
on his back, kicking the fridge.
Genuinely, it surprises me that there wasn't any bites even through like cable sports networks for maybe more.
Yeah.
Back then, given that wrestling was on the rise, maybe it was just more of a, an American-focused landscape, I guess, at the time. But it surprises me, because there will have been ways, because I know that to watch G1, you used to have to call a pay-per-view provider, get it all arranged, pay out the arse, because it was like daily pay-per-view. Mm. But it would just, you know, it'd sort of, there would be a route to it, but there was never really a clean, direct route that I thought at least one network would be like, yeah, we'll pick that up.
Somebody would have it, wouldn't you?
Like, it's going to fill some time on sports. You're already producing it. Like, all we've got to do is basically buy the rights and promote it.
But it was more a case of, it would have been not a fear of finding a buyer, more that WCW went, you're not using our talent on it, dickheads.
Yeah.
Like, this wasn't the agreement. So they've had to shifty the card around. So the plan is they're just going to have WCW guys against WCW guys.
Yeah.
So when they come to sell the rights, they can just whoop.
Yeah, just trim it all out.
Which means that sadly, Sergeant Craig Pitbull Pittman is missing out on his main event payday. He was set to team with Yoshiaki Fujiwara to face Dan Severn and Antonio Inoki.
I'm sure it would have been a fantastic showing.
He can't find a manager. He can't face Inoki. What he is having a stinker.
Is he still just been popping up on Saturday night, just looking for a manager in the meantime? Because that just fucking tapered off.
It just disappeared, didn't it? I think he might have appeared maybe once on WCW Saturday night.
Yeah.
But it's otherwise.
It's just been really odd, because then Cobra gets repackaged, obviously, eventually as NWO Sting.
Yeah.
But Sergeant Pittman's just sort of milling around.
No, he's not even in the...
It's weird.
He's not even at the Peace Festival, bless him. We'll also get... we were going to get Jushin Liger versus Wild Pegasus. Mm-hmm. That was the match that was announced. However, because now we can't have WCW guys against New Japan guys because they want it on pay-per-view, it looks as if that's changing up to not happen. So Liger versus Benoit and Alex Wright taking on Sasuke is now becoming Chris Benoit versus Alex Wright and Liger versus Sasuke.
Which two still great all right matches, yeah.
But it's
not where you kind of want to see at a peace festival, right?
Yeah, you'd want the world.
Although kind of, I don't know. It feels like the peace festival thing's really good in terms of marketing, but the kind of, and we're just going to use your talent. Mm. It's just sort of like a bit of an oversight of, hopefully they won't say anything because it's a peace festival.
He won't ask for pay because it's a volunteer charity event.
Yeah.
I'm asking for pay.
We've got all the young boys packing bags at the tills.
Exactly. Exactly that.
Raising money for their football trip.
You won't want money to MC it. Yeah, I will.
It's for the good of the scene, though, Tom.
Yeah, and it's good for my pocket as well. Give me some pay me, you bastards. I ain't coming out. I was watching the Woodstock 99 documentary.
Yeah.
And it's the bit where James Brown is waiting to go on. And his manager goes, he ain't going on unless you pay him now.
Yeah.
And he went, no, he's
he's already here. He's already here and he's warming up. Yeah. So.
And so apparently they just hit the start of his music.
And he has to go.
He went, yeah. You gotta go out now, big kid. You don't fuck it. Hey!
Was it? There's like loads of just funny stories about that like kind of talent being held up by management last second. Like yeah. just a kind of whoop. But then it seems to be a lot of older musicians in particular, like from different eras, would like want paying up front and have the money basically on their person as they're performing, because then I've got it. Mm. You know, you can't stiff me afterwards. You can't, like, I'm going to go out there and perform. You pay me now and I'll go do it.
Yeah.
So I think it might just be like a weird mix of generations. But at the same time, it's sort of hilarious. And it's also funny seeing The Miz like early on, like that like first episode.
First,
and he's just like a teenager, just like, yeah.
That's brilliant. Do you reckon he was amongst it, like chucking stuff on the bonfires?
I don't know.
I bet he was.
Look, he loves throwing canisters on fires.
Yeah, he's a baddie. Of course he was.
You not see him at Leeds Festival 05? Just absolutely trashing yellow on Sunday night.
He threw the paper aeroplane that everyone got distracted with during Kate Nash's concert. That's a story Alex told me today. It's lovely. So the paper aeroplane went through the crowd during Kate Nash playing at the festival. And as it landed, everybody went, "Way!" And Kate Nash went, "Thank you." That's great. I love that.
Festivals are just they're just a bunch of fun, aren't they?
I've never been to an festival.
I've been to Leeds a lot. I've been to Download. I think like the ones I want to do now, I want to do Glasgow at least once. It might not be completely to my liking, but I want to do it for the sake of doing it. I want to do Hellfest really bad. Like really, really bad. They just have a hellish, amazing lineup every single year. And then Rockhamring. I'd love to do Rockhamring. Go to Nürburgring.
Oh, nice.
And it's all up there. It's just like...
That sounds... those ones, because you say like the hell
like going away for them, yeah.
Yeah. Like, is that rebel spirit of the festival still live with them? Because I know that with Glasgow... And a bit with Leeds and Reading, and a bit with Download. Please insert your card.
Leeds
here.
Is like fucking dead to me. Leeds has been dead to me for a while. I think like anybody who was going back in the day, it's always changed. Like festivals have always changed, but I think everybody kind of has a window. But Leeds is sort of just like done now, as far as like I'm concerned with what it used to be, because like there used to be Range. It used to be a very like. Alternative angled festival, so you'd have like an indie day, a heavier day, and like a day with a legendary sort of alt band, and every day would have a kind of distinct flavor. And then slowly, as Mean Fiddler got kind of squeezed out of the scene, which I think was like a monopoly thing because they were involved in a lot of festivals, it became like BBC, and it just got gradually more and more sort of radio friendly, just normie music. And it's I don't know, I think like it's got to change to obviously keep appealing.
You've got to
keep going. But in terms of like Leeds, I think it's a good festival, but I'm kind of done with it. I just want to go abroad to fancy ones or Gloucester.
We can have it as like a holiday as well.
Yeah,
could be a holiday at the same time.
Yeah, but you'd enjoy a festival. Like if you got the right lineup, I think you'd have a blast.
I'd want to stay in a hotel.
You can do that. You can do the glamping. You can do all sorts.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to stay in like a.
I think you've got to at least once stay in like the busy, horrible, riotous section.
I think if I was in my 20s, I would say yeah, but like I'm 40.
I forget, you're a bit older than me. So you can, with most places, you can kind of get a bus to and from the town centre.
Yeah.
Like,
just when it gets a bit noisy, I want to go and find a little old man pub I can just sit and catch my thoughts in.
Yeah.
It's where I'm at now.
Piss poor, like warm ass Carlin.
Yeah.
Field. Warm Strongbow that's been sitting in a tent all day, kind of going flat. That's the experience. Setting a big fire that almost catches to all the tents. Getting too drunk. Nearly falling in the fire.
Again, if I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
I mean, Alex was trying to get me to Leeds Festival a few years ago before we all hated it.
Yeah.
And I was like, take your friend.
Leeds for the day. I'd say Leeds for the day is still pretty good, I'd imagine. It's the crowd's just changed a lot. Like, that's the one thing. Like the crowd atmosphere is just very different now. So it's sort of, it's probably worth it for the day. But for the full weekend, unless the lineup's banging, I'd just be like,
if they can bust me in for an early bird special, that'd be lovely. Brian Pillman this week has had plastic surgery following his car accident.
Yes.
He was released from hospital this week as well. He's got four steel plates in his face, bless him. He's got another op to take the steel rod out of his ankle. He's having his ankle done. And this is, it's a kind of shame because this is where we know that we'll never get Flying Brian again.
Yeah.
We'll have something, but it won't be Flying Brian.
It's sort of like when he loses the ability to be Flying Brian fully. Mm. It's not like we're going to lose all of Flying Brian. All the time. We are still going to see flashes of it. But it feels like it's sort of like what they say about people who lose a sense, where everything else becomes highly attuned. And it's like he may lose his ability to be frequently high-flying, but you've got to get the vocal side of Brian Pillman is about to literally launch to the moon. And everybody's going to go, oh, he's charismatic, like full-blown charismatic.
And despite the fact that his wrestling skills aren't what they were,
even
and this year, I don't think we'll see him back in the ring. Despite all of that, he is about to be part of the biggest bidding war of the year.
Yeah.
Maybe the next couple of years.
Which goes to show you exactly how far he can go, even with what many would consider at the time to be his main strength taken away from him.
Exactly.
I don't think we need to talk about how amazing he was, because it's pretty much all we do whenever he's on screen. But it's amazing to see somebody be able to still command that level of demand. After something so life-changing, especially for, you know, many talents, that would have been it.
Deals are done for Oz and the Diamond Studs to return to World Championship Wrestling. Do you remember them?
Remember her? They were crap, and they should keep those gimmicks. I liked it.
Well, hopefully they will, because a lot of money's been thrown to bring them back in.
If I don't see no big green cape, I'm walking out. I'm done.
They've been given big pay-per-view send-offs with the World Wrestling Federation this week before they head off to WCW. Scott Hall and Kevin Nash are on their way in. Razor Ramon puts over Vader whilst Diesel puts over Shawn Michaels at Good Friends, Better Enemies. See you all in Atlanta, lads.
Well, there's still something else that's got to happen first, isn't there? That's going to create a lot of angry feelings.
Yes, more on that very soon.
Destroying the business.
They're getting ready to come in and feud with some of the top stars. The Wrestling Observer reporting that heading into the summer, the two main matches for the company will feature The Giant versus Kevin Diesel Nash and Scott Razor Ramon Hall versus Hulk Hogan.
Which, I mean,
I'm sure that will pan out exactly that way.
But even if it did pan out that way, you've got two great matches.
I mean, there is that as well. Hulk Hogan has said this week behind the scenes, according to Dave Meltzer, the Wrestling Observer, quote, no more jobs. Read my lips. No more jobs. Hulk Hogan sounded like a member of parliament for somewhere south of Yorkshire. No more jobs, he screams, as he doesn't want to lose any more to any more stupid wrestlers when he gets back.
Could you imagine if Hulk Hogan just never lost a match again from 1996 onwards?
I can imagine that. Isn't that frightening?
It's pretty much what's going to happen for a good stretch, but it can't be real. He can't have turned around and said no more jobs. He's got to understand, even as Hulk Hogan, that, you know, to become a 10-time champion, you've got to lose it 9 times. You have to lose. It's an important part of building the character. So I don't know about that one.
Jack Atkins from Cultaholic.com, thank you, Jack, has done a little bit of research into this for us. He says that Hulk Hogan, spoiler, will do one job in 1996.
Fucking hell.
And he will do 6 in 97. One of those being a dark match against Jacques Rougeau. That'll be in a show in Montreal,
wasn't it? He was serious. Yeah. He was fucking serious about it.
What happens also, Jack Atkins points out that quite a few of these were disqualification losses.
Of course they were. Gotta keep Hogan looking strong.
Gotta keep Hogan strong, brother, 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 brother.
It's only been 3 years of consistent victories.
But you know what? Here's a nice thing. This is the last time we'll talk about our Hulk Hogan thing on this week's podcast. Because he's not on this week. He's not on for a couple of weeks.
No, he's away shooting a film, right?
He's off doing...
It's not Mr.
Race
Nanny.
To Witch Mountain?
Race to Witch... Yeah, it's Three Ninjas, right?
Three Ninjas.
Yeah.
I believe it's Three Ninjas Race to Witch Mountain. And he'll be back when he's ready. Let's go to Nitro from 1996. It is April the 29th. We are taped! From Albany, New York. All that bluster last week.
If you couldn't tell that we're fucking taped, the first 5 minutes of the show just being talking would like a word with you. What the hell was that? Why was there so much bump? It felt like they were talking forever. And then, Harlem Heat's music started, and I was like, oh, thank God.
Jesus Christ. I don't know why they had to do so much conjecture at the start. They did bang on for ages.
Maybe it was like a case of, you know, extra run over just in case they needed it. I don't know.
It can be sometimes. With it being
taped,
enough.
They could have taped that intro like 10 times, you know?
That's true.
You never know.
Flair versus the Giant is our main event for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship after what happened last week, in real time, 5 minutes ago, between Flair and the Giant. Mongo says Flair has made a mistake, and Heenan says Giant is young and hungry. A Giant is 24!
Yeah. It's sickening, isn't it?
Fuck!
Sickening.
24!
24.
Imagine him coming out of his mum.
Just think of the Simpsons. the newspaper the day home always bought. Just a giant baby. But just he has his exact current 24-year-old face. And his long hair.
Hey, we haven't called on him in a while, but John! Love you, John Iley. Do the honours, mate. Thank you, love. Yeah, so he's 24. It's ridiculous. And I just want to give his mum a hug and maybe buy her a gin. Also tonight, Stang and Leg are defending the WCW World Tag Team titles against Harlem Heat. And Lord Regal and the Belfast Bruiser are having a parking lot brawl.
Yeah, they're fighting in a car park.
Nice.
On some cars and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. ECW, you got nothing on this.
No, you know what? Lord Stephen Regal is about to go ECW and it suits him down to the ground. We do open after a good 5 minutes, as Sam Driver said, with Harlem Heat's music. They are here to challenge Stang and Leg Luger for the WCW World Tag Team Championships. A lot of hot dogging and grandstanding.
Yeah,
at the start of this.
Just a lot of back and forth, wasn't it? Just kind of showing off. And the, even then, when the action picks up, it's sort of very back and forth. With, you know, each team getting breakaway time, but it's never quite definitive.
Early match, in the first spot that really made me stand to attention, not with my penis, Sting.
I promise.
Not on this occasion. Sting lands a shoulder block on Booker that fucking launches him into orbit. Yeah. Jesus. I thought it was a star. Do you remember for a little while there was a big thing over that song? Is it called Shooting Star?
Oh yeah.
I thought that was going to happen with Booker T. Brilliant. Eventually, Sting gets worked over by Stevie Ray and Booker T as Bischoff, Heenan, and Mongo talk about WCW's favourite topic. Can Sting trust Lex Luger?
No, he can't, but it's impossible to determine how Lex is going to behave on a given week depending on the booking, because you'll find in this match, Lex just plays everything by the fucking book.
It feels like Lost at this point.
It does. Like, it's like we've gone through the season 3 jump backwards in time and they're all just like, yeah, I'm fine to live in the 60s. And it's like, oh, you want a bat? You're fine to live in the 60s on a magical traveling island. And it's like, you all know that you've got to do the atomic blast. If you don't do the atomic blast, it's not going to reset, but it has to happen because of the way that time works, and you're all going to do it anyway. So just do it. And then it didn't matter by that point anyway, and the show was kind of derailed by the press, and oh, what could have been? I hope they really do that Lost reboot they were wanting to do, because I love that fucking TV show.
It started with such promise, and is it a case they got greedy and went, we can make another 3 seasons, when really we should be wrapping this up in 2?
Yeah, so I think that a lot of it was the initial hype. Like, there was nothing, like Lost was like Game of Thrones level hype initially, when it was like, what's going to happen next, and what does this mean, and why is there a polar bear on a tropical island, blah, blah, blah. And once you kind of get through that to the jump back in time, then it was like a twofold thing. So Sky bought the rights to it because it was on Channel 4 for free. And then Sky bought the rights to it from, I think, season 3 onwards. So you had to then have a Sky subscription to watch it. And then on top of that, it just became very convoluted with the jump backwards in time, the jump forwards in time, all the Dharma stuff and everything else. And then it's sort of jumping around and here's some new characters and here's the people from the tail section of the plane. And ultimately, they should have ended it a lot sooner, but they do kind of end it on the Blu-ray set with, there's like a secret hidden ending, and it's Hurley and Ben, who are like two of the remaining people, collecting Walt from school. And it's like, the island's like, got work for you. Like, there's something you need to do. And then they just storm off, like, speed away. And it's like, just do a reboot. Just don't fucking remake it. We've already been enough through the whole Jack and Sawyer and Kate shit. If we can just reboot it, and just go from there. Just new characters, same island, new mystery.
Just say the
island.
Bring
back John Locke. You know, that's all I want.
Have one guy pop up from the old
series. Yeah, because when John Locke's wailing on that fucking hatch and he's lost everything, and he's just, and then the light goes on. It's like one of the best endings to a season ever.
Mm.
And he's just crying, and then eventually it just like lights up, and it's like, oh fuck, mystery deepens. And then it's like, you can't wait for season two.
That's what you need.
Yeah. That's what you need now.
I like shows like that. Love to write a TV series like that.
Yeah.
Love.
I'm obsessed with the Cold War at the minute. I'm obsessed with it anyway, but like more the espionage side of it. So I've been reading a lot of like John le Carré novels, and I'm starting like the Smiley series of books. So I've done Call for the Dead, which was amazing. And I'm going to work my way through, obviously, Tinker Tailor, Smiley's people. But I'm on a Spy Came In from the Cold right now, and it's amazing. It's like, if I could just write a Cold War espionage series, I would be the happiest man alive.
Nice.
Like, and just make it, give it that feel of the very, very good Tinker Tailor adaptation with Gary Oldman. Just, oh my God.
What if, a hypothetical
situation. They can still make Smiley's people if they just fucking get the money together. Gary Oldman's still alive, motherfuckers. Do it. Do it. He looks more like Smiley than he ever has.
Okay, I'm gonna pitch something to you now, right? Okay, Hollywood comes to you, Soundwriter, they come to you and they say, yes, we want you to write Smiley's People, the remake. We want you to remake it.
I'd probably say no because I'd drop the ball on it so hard.
Oh, okay, well, yeah. In that case, okay. Let's pivot this. Big money, Hollywood people. Sam, mm-hmm. We've heard about your love for the Cold War and we know how passionate you are about writing a series about the Cold War. We would love to pay you this amount of money to write a series about the Cold War.
Yeah.
There is one caveat.
Okay.
You can write it. You can add whoever you want. It can be based whoever you want.
Yeah.
Right? And all that. The only caveat, it has to be a sitcom with a live studio audience.
Oh, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. I knew you'd be up for it.
There's all sorts of meeting points involved with like Cold War espionage. So there'll be like secret safe houses that kind of look like businesses and stuff. So you could set it in one of those.
You could have some fun with that, couldn't you? Where you press a button and the whole thing turns around.
Just have the whole thing at the border. It's all just set at Checkpoint Charlie all day. Just people bored out of their fucking minds waiting for something to happen. Just like...
Sounds like papers.
We can't
please.
Fire at them. They can't fire at us. Basically, what it is, because yeah. Like real espionage is super boring. It's sort of, you know, when they found that spy in London who definitely did what he did to himself, even though he was zipped into a suitcase, and it was inexplicable how those wounds got into the back of his head, or where the weapon had gone, and he'd zipped himself up afterwards.
He
just looked like an IT worker, and it's like, of course, like there's all that kind of image of, you know, spies, James Bond, all that stuff, and it's like you've got like a fucking super suave mega athlete. It's going to stand out like a sore thumb. You need like real people to work in espionage. So I think that's what's fascinating about it.
Is this where in the story arc for the Classic Nitro review, it turns out that you're undercover?
Maybe.
Oh, or what if I'm undercover?
Maybe I just write a show and cast Hulk Hogan and we just pretend he's not Hulk Hogan.
Just a normal IT worker, brother.
We said during the dying days of the USSR and it's actually Hulk Hogan and not Ronald Reagan. Who facilitates the demolishment of the Berlin Wall. He's just there with an extra mustache on, just chipping away,
an extra
shouting
mustache.
Like, Eins, zwei, drei. That's it. German. Yes. Me. German man.
I'm a German brother.
Hans Hogan.
Sorry, Bruder.
And he takes off the bottom mustache. Oh, Hulk Hogan!
That's right, brother!
He's got like a really bad like Germany Mania shirt, but they didn't know how to quite say Germany Mania because it was too much of a mouthful. So it just says German Mania with like the German flag colours. Yeah. And they got Lex on the other side, just making sure, you know, just double stacking it.
As he's getting on the bus, the German soldier says, "How do you feel about facing Warrior?" And he goes, "We know something means you. Oh no."
And that's it. Caught out.
Caught out.
Great. They have to trade 7 arms dealers to get him out or something. He's just walking along the Bridge of Spies, just like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, he just caught me. It's a tick.
It's just burned into me.
It's a tick. I can't do it. Sting gets a hope spot after the break. As he's building up for a tag, he gets fucking decapitated by Booker T. Fucking
the energy, man. Like, the energy from Booker here, it's just... This has to be the point where they're looking at Booker going, this guy's it. This guy's got to be a breakout star. Like, for sure. Because everything down to, you know, we say it about Booker all the time. Whenever you watch Booker wrestle, it's just fluid.
Mm.
There's not any wasted motion. Even when he's grandstanding and he's, you know, spinning his feet back to, like, spinning his legs around to get back to his feet and stuff. And he's implementing these almost like capoeira-esque motions. It's all done with purpose. And it like there's nothing wasted. And it's just like, Christ, man. Like, they must have just been clapping their hands looking at this, just going like, Buck is going to be a megastar.
Yeah, definitely put the belt on him in 4 years.
Yeah, it should have been very much, we'll definitely put the belt on him now. Put the belt on him now.
What I liked was he did
it's
this.
It's like, no, we're going to put him through the NWO. We're going to have him do the whole Jihad Bro thing again. We're going to...
But it was this beautiful sidekick. And then, like, Stevie Ray, like, I want to do one too. He does a bicycle kick and falls over. Oh. I was like, that is the perfect.
I thought.
There is not a more perfect presentation of Harlem Heat in that 5 seconds.
I think it's unfair. I think Stevie had his own, like, brand of explosiveness, I think, that came with him being slightly larger. He certainly moves very quickly for somebody of his build. Like, not that he's out of shape or anything. He's just stacked. So I think the explosiveness is what you want from Harlem Heat, but Booker's just, I don't know what it is, he's just got that extra little bit of magnetism to him where you just can't, when he's in the ring, you can't take your eyes off like everything he's doing.
The issue, you're right, and Stevie Ray gets a bad rap because he stood next to Booker T,
and that's it.
It's so good.
It's kind of like it must because I'm not saying it's like a Jannetty level thing, but then calling somebody Jannetty is so shitty anyway. Because it like is. If you take Marty Jannetty away from Shawn Michaels, they're both still good talents. It's just that Shawn Michaels is just that extra little bit of polish to him. And it's sort of, you know, it's just the Jannetty of the group is always the thing now. It's like, it's actually, you know, fairly fucking good when you just separate them. And, you know, if you looked at it as a separate package.
Yeah,
things could have maybe been different, you know?
Yeah, if a different creative had been heading up WWF, they might have gone, I see more in Jannetty than Shawn.
I think they might have gone, I see Shawn more as a single star, but we'll do this and then we'll move Jannetty into something else.
And then we'll get Marty versus Shawn WrestleMania for the WWF title.
Yeah, but Jannetty just kind of gets unceremoniously just...
it's like, pushed away. But every time he's on, he has a blinder with somebody and then he just gets forgotten about, which is a real shame.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Still running WCW, isn't he?
I believe so, yes.
Unless he's done one already.
Was it early as?
Very early as, I seem to think. If he hasn't done one yet, he will certainly do one at some point. As you check that, I will say that a double clothesline gives Lex Luger a chance to hot tag. He lights up Harlem Heat. We get a big schmoz with all four, and it leads to Lex Luger being double teamed and hit with a really interesting looking powerbomb diving elbow combo.
98 for Jannetty.
Oh, see you in a couple of years, lad. Yeah. What do you think of the finish? The double, the powerbomb elbow, the finisher rather than the finish.
It was all right, yeah.
It looked like they were a bit close to the rope, so it looked like it nearly went a bit wrong.
It's just a little bit kind of, squeaky bum time.
Squeaky bum bum. Jimmy Hart runs to throw in the towel. Now, on WCW Saturday Night, they had this match.
Yeah.
This is a re-up.
They didn't really explain this end bit very well, but yeah, Jimmy runs out with the towel. He throws it in, but it gets caught before it hits the mat, which in WCW is, that's not towel being thrown in unless it hits the mat. So they stop Jimmy from his nefarious little plan.
Mm-hmm. He ends up getting caught. He catches it midair, and then he ends up getting dragged into the ring.
Yeah.
Booker's going to do a number on Jimmy Hart.
And then it all sort of just falls apart really weirdly. Yeah.
Well, seconds later, we get a schoolboy from Stang and on Booker it. For the three.
Yep.
So, like, they've retained the titles, but with help from Jimmy Hart.
At what cost?
At one point, Bischoff says Sting didn't see. Mm. So I don't know whether they're sort of playing off the fact that Sting didn't see that Jimmy Hart had got amongst it,
so Sting,
and just took advantage of a distracted,
I guess,
Booker.
Sting is really still a valiant babyface, isn't he? So yeah. It's the type of thing where it would not be out of character in my head for Sting to have seen Jimmy Hart run in, get involved, and go, no.
Yeah.
And just sort of go like, no, and just let him get back to his feet and carry on. So maybe it is just that kind of, you know, like, Sting wouldn't usually do this, but it's at the same time.
He wasn't,
like,
sure what had happened.
He's also a wrestler trying to retain a belt, so I wouldn't blame him for doing it. Because technically, I guess the fault's on his the team he's facing for not being prepared in that exact situation.
Thoughts on the opening match?
You know what? I thought it was going to be... I don't think it was going to be worse than I thought, but I thought it wasn't going to be quite as explosive. So I thought it was all right. It was a bit of a mess at the end, I feel, with Jimmy Hart running in. But again, with the whole Lex storyline going on and with them choosing what and how they're going to portray it weekly, and we're not really getting, like, concurrent storytelling on it, I think it was all right.
It was all right, wasn't it? Did the job.
It was exciting, like, in terms of the in-ring action, but it just overall it was a bit like,
It's
sort of just another match.
Another match follows that. More tag team action. Fire and ice! Scott Norton and Ice Tray!
Fire and fucking ice. They're two months old now by this point. And they should have been on TV, like, on Nitro anyway, because they've been on Saturday night, I believe.
Yeah.
But they should have been on Nitro a lot earlier.
Mm.
Because, fuck me, like, hoss fight. This is what you want. Big beefy lads lobbing each other around, but they can all do flips and stuff. Except Scott, but he's good at, like, flipping other people.
Yeah, it's Fire and Ice versus the Steiners up next. And hot, as you say, I've even put Hoss Battle Starts in my notage. Bischoff's plugging the Slamboree tickets as said Hoss fight gets underway. Steiner suplexes the shit out of Scott Norton.
Beef on beef on beef on beef on beef on beef on beef.
If this is
Scott
your
Scott Norton getting lobbed around like a rag doll, man.
Jeez.
Oh.
If this is your kink, only watch this show when your partner's out. And then get your partner out. So Steiner suplexing the shit out of Norton is unreal.
Yeah.
It's beefy from bell to bell, but we get a bollocks finish. Something went awry here. And I think I think I can suss out what happened. So we see... Scott Steiner clearing out Ice Train from the ring.
Yeah.
Clearing Scott Norton out of the ring.
Yeah.
Rick lands a clothesline, a big clothesline, like a proper Bron Breakker.
Like a haymaker of a clothesline, yeah.
They're kind of bombs that Bron Breakers drop in. Like a clothesline where, like...
Like a brick wall that runs into you.
Yeah. Because some clotheslines, you do them and they hit them and they carry on running. Like, this is like a full stop of this a clothesline.
Yeah, it's there to punctuate the sentence. Mm. Very much so.
Like being hit by a tram.
Yeah.
It's like, boom! And the tram stops immediately. Big clothesline. He goes down for the cover. Pee Wee Anderson, who's the ref, rolls into the cover. Now, he claps his hand on the mat.
Yeah.
But very softly. So... I don't hear it.
So you don't count that as a pin count, I guess, because usually you'll get the initial thudump and then one, two, three.
But we had we hit the ground, but then he did the first count, no noise, and then it went thudump, thudump,
and then bell,
ding, ding, ding.
And that's I thought it was a two count for the bell until I went back and it was like, oh shit, no, okay.
Because what happens is as that final thudump goes down, Ice Train gets his shoulder off the mat.
Yeah.
Which suggests to me that he was meant to kick out there and there's meant to be a little bit more nonsense.
Well, there's a little bit you can see as it cuts out to the wide in the immediate aftermath. Norton and Ice Train are kind of just quickly talking and Norton's just sort of selling everything still. So I think it was just one of those moments where maybe communication didn't fly right in the situation.
I think it was more the case of, and Ice Train's to be forgiven for this, is that because, I guess because you're not facing the ref, so you're having to listen for that.
Yeah.
But if you don't hear the first one.
Yeah. Or you misinterpret the first one as somebody dropping to their knees.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my worst nightmare as a wrestler. Yeah. It would be anyway. Because how many times have you watched wrestling and you've heard a Phantom 3 count?
Yeah.
And that's like you sort of like, count. Yeah. It throws you off because then you look back and go, oh, it's because they're hitting the canvas. But yeah. So I don't think that wasn't so much a miscommunication. I think it was more just the ref didn't.
I imagine by the time you had canvases mic'd up, like WWE would eventually do, like now if you go see a live event, like a Mania or like a pay-per-view or anything like SmackDown or Raw, you can hear like every impact, every single footstep, like thump, 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 is just getting pumped around the arena. So now I imagine for refs, it's got to be very definitive. Like you drop down and then it's like this.
One, two.
Yeah. So I think it's maybe just a victim of like a very odd situation that unfolded. And it's nobody's fault.
Nah.
Yeah.
I want to see these lads go at it again.
Yeah,
though.
That's all I could think afterwards was more.
I feel like this was merely like one trip to the buffet. We could have made maybe
I want to see Scott Norton's face again as he's upside down, not knowing what the hell's happening. This is like a split second where he just looks like he just looks so confused. He's just upside down like a bear, just like.
Well, he doesn't get hoofed like that very often, does he? I ain't surprised. Ric Flair heads out to the ring with Woman and Elizabeth. He's glistening tonight, is Ric Flair, in his robe.
He's all shiny, and he's got some things to say about the giant's penis.
Yeah, he isn't sweating the big fire-breathing dragon penis. He isn't sweating the challenges tonight, nor is Elizabeth or Woman. Woman is too busy stroking Mean Gene's head and going in to give him a kiss. Like, she's proper flirting with Mean Gene, and Gene, you can tell,
Gene's just
loving
going,
life.
Ooh. Not knowing what to do.
Why do all the women fancy me? Gene Oakland? Not that he's...
Have you heard his voice?
He's got a lovely voice, admittedly.
Buttery smooth, Tom.
Mm. Woman was really giving him the eyes. I think I'm falling in love with
that. And he's got all that. Woman, he's got all that money from the hotline, you know? He's absolute minted.
That's what it is, isn't it? I think as the weeks are going
He's like Ric Flair, but without having to deal with Ric Flair.
He isn't going to do all the Ric Flair stuff.
He's just, he's like Ric Flair. He's like any rich wrestler without having to deal with the wrestling side of it.
Yeah. He just does all the fun bits and not the wrestling. But like from holding the WCW World title the other week to like these little sort of coquettish, seductive eyes to Mean Gene, I think I am getting a bit of a crush on Woman every week. I think if they could, you can go on a date with either Elizabeth or Woman, I'd probably go on a date with Woman at this point.
Tom's going to be doing this on the reg.
Just point that out. And also, like, Woman looks so much more comfortable as a heel. Elizabeth just always looks like a deer in the headlights.
Liz hasn't really been a heel, though. This is sort of her first trip into being a heel, whereas Woman got to work with Sullivan, got to work through, you know, like a very deeply terrified state of Florida. Like, these Satanist wrestlers are ruining our state. And it's like, you're Florida. What's he going to add to it? Like, come on.
If you want to know what state Florida's in, you don't live in Florida, just Google Florida man and see all the things that come up.
It's apparently unfair that. Because not a lot of states allow national reporting on their like crime or whatever, but Florida has a law that allows for that. So you'll see a lot of stories about Florida man because it's legal for it to be reported on, or it's acceptable to be reported on or whatever compared to other states. But at the same time, I've been to Florida a few times and... it's a bit Raj.
It is Raj.
Just a little bit Raj.
They're hoisting by their own Florida man there, I'll be honest.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, this is a pretty nice city, and this is a pretty nice swampland. Alligators, death. So, okay. Bermuda Triangle. Okay. Disneyland. All right.
I got Disney.
Buy the Disney books. You can use them in the park. No, you can't. You can use them on Disney Walk to buy Disney golf balls. It's like, okay, cheers.
Having said that, they are building Tafiti in Epcot.
Nice.
Which made me go, we should go back to Disney.
I've not been to a single Disney park.
Oh, man.
No, I've done Universal. I like Universal.
Universal's
but
fun.
We did Universal in LA as well. It was nice.
Oh, that's nice.
Got there, because they've got like a couple of mimic, like a couple of duplicate rides from Florida. Mm-hmm. But the Mummy ride was there. And I've not been on that since 2007. It was still just as good. I was like, yeah. Although I seem to remember it in Florida having like a log flume section. This one was more like a roller coaster. I don't know. Mm. Weird. But there was a giant Jurassic World one. Oh, it was class. It was so good. It was like a huge, 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 huge log flume. And a giant T-Rex just jumps out just as you're about to like drop. It's so good.
Oh, I think I've been on the Orlando one of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been on that one. It's nice, that is. good fun, that. I like Universal. I remember going when it was just Universal Studios. I remember when it was Fields.
Island of Adventures now.
Yeah. And like a whole bit in the middle where it's like Hard Rock Cafe and the Cheesecake Factory.
And you've got a piece of the Berlin Wall there outside of Hard Rock. And I think it's a House of Blues inside the Hard Rock as well, or it was at one point, because I remember like there was just some insane gigs on first time I was there. And it was like, whoa.
Blue Man Group sometimes there as well.
Yeah, they had a residency, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it the Blue Man Group though, or are they one of those things where there's like 50 of them?
Is it like the Drifters?
Can I hire the Blue Man Group for my birthday, but some of them turn up? I think they've probably got
like a pool of like 100 and they keep in a grabber machine. Yeah. You just grab a few.
Why haven't they done that? They should definitely do a big concert that's just a giant vending machine. That seems like the type of thing they would do.
And the artists randomly come out?
Yeah. Ooh. I can be the Tobias Funke to the group. Yeah.
No. So you get like a sort of hodgepodge band.
I just blew myself.
Like, don't do that in the grabber machine. They'll be furious with you. Like, I love that, a grabber machine. Oh, we've got this. What's on tonight? Well, the grabber machine is picked out. Gene Simmons from Kiss, Uncle Cracker, Michelle Heaton from Liberty X, and Heidi Range from Sugar Babes.
It pisses me off that like the music industry doesn't have, and it, I know it sounds ridiculous, like, oh, boo-hoo, millionaires don't have more millions. It pisses me off that they don't have like the level of production they used to have, because in some ways it's cool that we got these super high-end fucking 100-foot screens, and it's awesome. And, you know, sometimes you get like Metallica or two, they'll have like a big Metallica M-shaped stage in the middle of the like arena. Amazing. But you used to have shit like U2 getting stuck in a giant lemon for an hour and a half, leading to like the stage show having to stop. And like I just miss big, ridiculous shit like that.
I think the 1975, I keep seeing them. 1975
are doing...
They've got like a big house, haven't they?
Yeah, Steph and my sister went to see them. The other day.
Were they good?
And yeah, they had a great time. But yeah, they're doing like a whole like live show. Like, but it's almost like you're attending a live performance. It's weird.
Mm. Yeah. They're very much on vogue now, the 1975, which is nice to see.
Yeah.
Lads from Round Ear.
Yeah.
Tim Ealy's lad. Mm. And Denise Welsh's dad, of course. Yeah.
Waffy on sax. Yeah. Waffy went to my school.
Did he? Yeah. Oh, get in. Yeah. Is he a good lad?
He's one of the best. He's brought saxophone back into, you know, the mainstream. Like he's owed everything. Mad. He should be a knight by now.
Is he a wrestling fan?
Probably not. Because he's in a cool band, Tom.
Well, I don't know. Hey. Russell from Block Party's on Desert Island Graps in the
really
next week. Yeah.
Oh my God, really?
Russell from Block Party's on. He's nice. A big wrestling geek. Had a chat with him the other day.
The more you know.
Yeah, Russell from Block Party's doing it. So cool.
Fucking hell.
Cool people in cool bands. I always like to surprise people with Desert Island Graps guests. They go, what? Yeah, Russell's on. Russell's lovely. Lovely man, Russell. Where were we? Says, yes, it's Fire and Ice.
Yes.
At the Steiners. Mean Gene. Fancy woman. Flair says...
Yeah, you went off on a tangent about touching yourself.
I didn't touch myself. I just...
You didn't do it, but you went off on a tangent about
it. I think I'm a bit in love with her here. Flair is goading Macho Man a little bit as well, and then tells the Giant to come and get it. Flair has no fear of the Giant at all.
Yeah.
Which suggests he might have a master plan.
Yes, and it's just... It's everything you'd expect it to be, given how we've seen Ric Flair week to week, and you're just expecting... You know, some big stupid shenanigans involving coffee already. Yeah, because, I mean, they're already on his arm, like on the ramp, kind of looking evil. So, yeah.
We get a video that shows what looks like a portal opening.
Yes, we do.
And cold wind and snow blowing through.
Yes, we do. Our world is about to change. Mm. Change. Change.
The screen freezes and the words "blood runs cold" appear on the screen. And then we see like this big... sort of the portal once again. Coming to WCW. But what is coming to WCW? Ooh, Blood Runs Cold is coming to WCW. Now, we'll talk more about this in the weeks to come, but as Sam alluded to there with his dulcet music stylings, a very Mortal Kombat-inspired bit of business from Dub C Dub on the horizon.
And he's somebody I feel got an unnecessary amount of shit.
You know,
because we had Avatar already, and Avatar kind of sucked. It did. Mm. But, like, this is... It's definitely a more transparent Mortal Kombat parody, I guess, legally. Mm. But it... For the time, badass look, just none of it worked.
Didn't fly. Did not scan.
Yeah, it was a bit odd. And, you know, the indoor microclimate that comes with this wrestler as well was a bit strange.
We'll put a pin in it.
Yeah.
We'll get to it because I'm ready for it. Let's go outside the arena in Albany where we have a parking lot brawl.
I just got you. Regal versus Finlay in a fucking car park.
It's Saturday night in Blackpool all over again. It is indeed Lawstein Regal and the Belfast Bruiser Fit Finlay in the parking lot. This is just a scrap amongst the cars.
Look, I think in a time where you had ECW popping the fuck off,
yeah,
like to a point where, you know, they were on everybody's lips. Like, everybody knew somebody at school who had at least a couple of ECW tapes, and it would be, you know, cloned to death and shared with everybody because it was just so out there and it was so like, you know, what the fuck are these guys doing to each other? And WCW was very family friendly. WWF was about to lean very hard into the ECW style without going fully over the line. But WCW never really went whole hog on that. The most far they've gone so far, I guess, has been Public Enemy with a couple of table spots.
Mm.
And now it's like, hey, look, NBA fans who are just tuning in ahead of the NBA game that's coming on in a little bit, NBA, look, it's exciting. We do this stuff too. And to be fair to them, they couldn't pick two better people for it, I think.
Yeah.
And I think that they really got across the kind of the severity of it without it needing to go full bloodbath, you know, like crazy stupid spots.
Yeah, they do so with there's a bit of the claret.
It feels more like a brawl.
Yeah.
Yeah, than like sort of aimlessly wandering from spot to spot waiting for kind of big set piece moments to happen.
Yeah, they smash the window on one car. They smash the hood on another one. It ends with Regal pile driving Finlay onto the bonnet of a car.
Yeah. Finlay at one point just rips the bumper off a car, like just a big chrome bumper, yeah, just starts beating Regal with it. Eventually, when Regal gets the victory, Finlay can't quite believe it, so he picks the bumper back up, lifts it to the referee. Referee's a bit like, whoa, and the referee's like, you can't bring that here, so he just tosses it at the car and smashes another window. There was a great angle that I wish, and it obviously, like, I don't know what they were doing with the windows of the cars because car glass obviously has got to be pretty thick. I don't know if it's pre-prepared glass, whatever. But there's a point where one of the cameras goes back inside the car.
Yes.
And it's like, it's lining right up for the shot. Finlay's got Regal by the hair. He's dragging him over. And right in the middle of the frame is the window. And it's like, bump. And he just bounces off it.
Oh.
And it's just like, ooh. But then at the same time, you got Eric Bischoff kind of really teasing the excitement of it, going, well, you know, if it gets a bit too much, we're going to have to cut away to just the skyline.
Yeah, like, get ready, cameraman, to pull out. Get ready to pull out of balance. Not like that.
And the camera crew just sort of like, in, out, in, out.
Congratulations to Stephen Regal for breaking a curse by wearing a WCW Nitro t-shirt, which whenever you wear the t-shirt of the promotion that you work for a match, it's always a bad omen. It's like the Red Tops when they go and do Star Trek.
How's Regal doing at the minute? Because he has just had, obviously, a knee issue leading up to...
He had his nose
events.
Blown out.
Nose with Finlay.
Yeah. He's knackered, but yeah, he's one of them where he's had work. He's had his nose fixed. It's fine.
Yeah.
But he's going to carry on anyway.
He's just working through it as he's healing.
And Finlay are going
to
fight.
I was going to say, because this was... It was a good way to sort of... To not have it be quite... because it still looked strenuous, but it didn't look quite as, you know, demanding, I guess, as constant in ring back and forth, being able to have that breathable space.
They still batter each other anyway.
But that's it. They still beat the shit out of each other. But it's I don't know, it just felt like special, which is something that I think WCW has tried to do in spades with things like, hey, we got triple decker cage, hey, we got all this stuff, and it feels kind of superficially special, but this felt actually quite special. Yeah,
it did. So good work by everybody involved. They're going to team together in the Slammery Lethal Lottery.
Yes, they are.
So I liked this as their tag partner that is letting off some steam.
Yeah,
as they say. It is main event o'clock.
Tiny Pacey. Cock Paul versus Rick, at least an inch bigger than Paul Flair. We should go back to them standing on the ramp there for a second. Rick alludes to the fact that Giant's got a tiny wanger.
Yeah, little dick Giant is on his way to the ring. He's challenging Ric Flair for the WCW World title. Quote from Bischoff, this is where the big boys play, and the Giant is the biggest boy that's ever played.
He's the biggest. Who's the biggest boy in the whole company?
Who's the biggest boy?
Is it you, Paul? You're the biggest boy.
They big up the Giant. Obviously, he's only 24, and like how outstanding as an athlete he is.
Yeah.
Mongo, right, drops a clanger here. Because as you said a second ago, all night it's been about the NBA. Because immediately following Nitro, it's the first game of the NBA, the brand new season.
Yep.
Every 20 minutes, NBA, the NBA, the stars of the NBA.
We're even plugging a basketball-themed film, everybody.
Yeah. Air Bud. NBA, the NBA. Big up the NBA. When they're talking about the Giant, Mongo goes, yeah, he's not one of those gangly basketball players.
They allude to the fact he was, what, that the Detroit Lions wanted him, I think.
Yeah, that's it.
And it goes from there, and it gets kind of just weird for a couple of seconds been very pro-basketball all night.
Yeah, it's Mongo going, yeah, basketball players are shit. By the way,
Mongo is still at this point and more established, I guess, in the American mind as a pro footballer.
Yes.
Rather than a wrestling commentator.
But even so, you don't need to say...
No, but it isn't fitting, I guess, with how maybe a jocular footballer would see another sport.
I agree.
But at the same time, it's an absolute clanger.
It is a clanger. Because I don't think like Mongo's rep lived and died on him slagging off a basketball player.
No, and I don't think, you know, I don't know much about Mongo's era, but I don't know if he was like, you know, a Brett Favre level, you know, Wheaties box star.
Mm.
But he still would have been more known, I guess, at the time for being a football player. Maybe it was just the inner football player coming out of him.
He's like,
fuck basketball!
He's probably just angry because he should have headlined WrestleMania 11, which I've said on multiple occasions, and you've all shouted at before.
Mongo
him over L- him over LT.
Over LT. LT was the Wheaties box name. There you go.
But Mongo is a better wrestler. I don't know. Mongo versus Bam Bam is your main event. That'd be amazing. Anyway,
it's Deborah in the corner.
She's having a lovely night. Giant dominates Flair. Military press treats him like a child. Flair takes a powder and the Giant gives chase.
And it's good because Flair's like doing everything he can to put as much distance between himself and the Giant as possible.
Mm.
And this is where I'm starting to go, shenanigans, here we go. He's out of the ring. He's near woman. He's near Liz. There's going to be coffee. There's going to be something.
Because we've had DQ finishes for
After
every main
DQ
event.
For like months.
Yeah.
You know, you're conditioned to it at this point, which, yeah.
So Flair gives Giant a thumb in the eye, which he weathers, but he can't weather a low blow. He goes down to his knees and Flair clobbers him with brass knucks, which he hides in his trunks.
And the referee's like, what was that? Was that brass knuckles? Let me see your hands. Let me see. Oh, you've not got any brass knuckles. Sorry, I thought I saw brass knuckles getting tucked into your shoe there.
Oh, you're mistaken, young man. Flair then struts around for a bit and puts the figure four on, and we're thinking, okay, three counts.
This is it, yeah.
Giant pops his head up.
Whoomp.
Choke.
Straight in a choke slam position.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And the crowd go wild. He puts his hand around Flair's throat, pulls Flair up to his feet.
Climbs with him. And then you see Giant just eclipse him as he stands up fully.
Oh, it's beautifully shot.
Oh, there's so many good visuals for Giant. So many good visuals for Giant.
Lifts him up, drops him down, and we're thinking, where's the run in? Where's the run
in? This is it. This is it.
Him.
Out comes the booty man or something.
One, two, three.
Yeah.
New champion!
Just on a random pre-taped Nitro.
A random pre-taped Nitro?
Yep.
Clean win, new champ crowned.
Do you reckon they did like a dark segment to kind of mask over it so that people wouldn't leave the event talking? Because the internet wasn't so much of a problem back then, but it still existed.
Maybe. But I don't know whether Eric thought, let's get people to talk about it so they come and watch next week. Because there's a little bit, because WWE,
it's going to front load a lot of people in if they want to watch it to the NBA, which I'm sure the network would appreciate.
Yeah. If they go quick, put Nitro on.
You know, even if they leave that on for 10 minutes, it's still going to count toward the ratings. But it's shocking. And what's more shocking is that this will be the reign that lasts till August.
Yeah.
And this will be the reign that Hollywood Hulk Hogan defeats.
It and certainly will.
The rise of the NWO, basically. So this is sort of, things are starting to finally change. And it's a definitive title win for the Giant as well.
Because
we've seen the Giant with the title around his waist before, but it was sort of vacated. It was vetoed, but he was still coming out with it and insisting that he was the champion. Now he is definitively the champion. And
huge ovation for this as well. The crowd love this.
Yeah, I was still shocked at how quiet it was compared to how I thought it would have been in my head, like remembering back. Because like obviously Flair is still a very, very much loved wrestler to a lot of the WCW audience. So I don't. Part of me just felt like it wasn't quite fully like
you know, lit and just going off completely for Giant, but at the same time, you could tell people were just shocked.
It's a mixed bag because I say Flair is still loved, but he's a heel.
Yeah.
People love the title change. They really like the Giant, but he's a heel because Jimmy Hart leaps into his arms after he's won the title.
But then Jimmy Hart kind of gets the hell out of Dodge very quickly, and the Giant's not really... They haven't quite established the crack there moving forward, I guess, but it's like you have so much here potential. At 24 years old, that big, capable of doing what he's doing. And this is going to be what pushes us forward.
It is.
And he's already got a matchup, hasn't he?
He has. Mean Gene Oakland interviews him and we get the revelation shortly after that because Giant says that this title has been his, as Sam said, since Halloween Havoc. He declares himself a fighting champion, calling out Hogan, Sting, Luger, Savage, come one, come all, you're all going to fall. Oh, straight, I'm up for this, up for this. And we go to commentary table. We've got Mongo, we've got Bischoff, we've got Heenan. Yeah. And that is where we get the Slammery main event confirmed. The Giant will defend the world title against Sting.
Which just...
Straight in
ooh,
there.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
This felt like a real change of the guard.
Yeah.
This felt like this is the, like as you say, this is the direction.
Hogan's off. Flair now doesn't have the belt. Randy's tied up in some mental fucking storyline where he's in cuffs. And Lex Luger is still doing what he's been doing for a year and a half.
The Giant Sting.
This is sort of like, you've still got the old guard in Sting there. But it's very much like, hey. And then, you know, what's going to happen in a couple of months is going to make things extra spicy.
Extra spicy.
And then we'll have, in fact, it's not Hollywood Hulk Hogan who wins the belt, is it? It's Hulk Hogan who wins the belt. And then he sprays the belt. And then it becomes the Hollywood Hogan reign.
We're going to enjoy the journey to get there. Thoughts on Nitro this week?
For the main event alone and for the big hoss fight, it's a better Nitro than we've watched in weeks.
It feels fresh.
It felt exciting. Like, and it felt like I remember Nitro feeling. It was a bit of a cluster in places. It was a bit like, what the fuck? But at the same time, it was like, well, you don't really know what's coming next now. This is a random fucking tape show, and there you go. There's your world heavyweight champion. And it's that that I like. It's that that I miss about, you know, the back in the day was just the sort of unexpected trying to one-up each other as two separate companies. And yeah.
It's almost like Hogan not being there, is there?
A bit of a godsend.
A godsend.
Maybe they should have made three ninjas, four, five, six, seven, eight,
just
nine.
Keep making them back to back.
Yeah.
Keep putting them in them. That'd be amazing.
Make sure he has to shave his mustache, though. So for any public appearances, that's it. People won't recognize him.
That's CGI it like Henry Cavill did that time. Hey, we want to thank you for selling out Cultaholic Live within 24 hours.
Within 24 hours, you mad bastard.
Sold. Freaking out. Jam packed to the rafters. We're going to be at Little Buildings second weekend in February.
Yeah, February 11th.
February 11th, the Little Buildings in Newcastle.
12 p.m.
And check this out. Crisis on Infinite Arseholes live. That's happening.
Is it?
That's a thing.
There's a very big schedule, Tom.
I know, but we'll be on it.
Well, yeah.
Are we going to be on it?
Yeah, we'll be on it.
That's fine then. Everyone else can do one.
I thought you meant like a big written thing. I was like, okay.
No. I mean,
that's why my brain was just like, there's a very big schedule.
No. Where it says watch along.
The mega team up. Yes. The
mega team up. Yeah, that's it.
For sure.
Yeah, don't worry. We won't
there's
keep
no
you
way we do a live
45
show.
45 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then your money back. All your money back.
Maybe two and a half.
Maybe three. Yeah. Maybe three. We'll see how we go.
Yeah.
Maybe five. Maybe all day.
And yeah, all proceeds go into St. Vincent's as well.
There you go. So it's going to a worthy cause. And thank you for selling it out. If you can't be there, it will be on the YouTube channel at some point, won't it?
Yes, we are going to be uploading it. So we can't say shit, fuck, arse, anything like that. We can't say piss. We can't say bums. We can't say...
YouTube is a rubbish poo-poo head.
Yeah, definitely can't say that.
We can't say, ooh, flipping heck.
Yeah, there's a whole list of things, Tom.
Do I have to go through the list? Can we get a print out of the list beforehand?
There's
so
probably
going
to have to be one
system.
Like sellotape to the front of the stage. So do not say.
No, because I'll see them. That's the worst part. but for the for a future episode of the Classic Nitro Review, let's go through the list. The words we're not allowed to say.
Yeah, we'll do that next time.
Yeah.
Let's go through the list
How
of words
exciting.
We're not allowed to say. Match to match.
Crisis on Infinite Arseholes live with the whole Classic Review team getting together for one watch along of one thing. That's going to be a fun time. Thank you for making us a part of it. Until we are next together, he is at TheSamDriver on Twitter. I'm at Tom Campbell. I'll do it again. We're at Cultaholic on Twitter.
Giant
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.